This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. In the 5 weeks since Detroit filed for bankruptcy, there's been so much conversation, much reporting, much editorializing. What does it mean? Who'll be affected? How can Detroit turn itself around? Lots of opinions, lots of views. One view we have not gotten yet on Stateside is the view of the Detroit bankruptcy from up north. And that's something we'll remedy right now as we welcome Ken Winter, former editor and publisher of the Petoskey News Review, and we might add a member of the Michigan Journalism Hall of Fame. And joining us from up north, where he got an up-close take on the UP's view of Detroit, is Michigan Radio's political analyst, Jack Lessenberry. Let's start with the Upper Peninsula. Jack, you spoke with people in Marquette, which, as you note, would be the capital of the UP if it were a separate state. Do folks there resent all the attention paid to Detroit's troubles?
I don't think they resent it. I just think they think it's sort of another world. Marquette is as far away from Detroit as Springfield, Illinois is. And it's sort of they feel sorry about it. They see it sort of mysterious. It's not uncommon to meet people who shudder at the thought of going south of the bridge. I talked to one young woman who actually was finishing a master's degree who said she once went almost down as far as Flint, but it was too crowded and too many people for her. So, but they do feel. I talked to a longtime sort of political fixture there, a man named Tom Baldini, and he said that while they feel sorry for Detroit, they think that Detroit ought to pull itself up by its own bootstraps.
And Ken, how about the Northwest Lower Peninsula? How is the bankruptcy playing in Petoskey?
I think pretty much the same way Jack describes it. You know, there's a lot of back and forth between Detroit and Northwest Michigan with people having second homes, but the local people here really don't pay a lot of attention to Detroit other than to go down occasionally to a ball game or a concert or maybe catch the DIA. They're pretty much the same way. They feel like they've had to pick up themselves by the bootstraps and take care of their own needs up here on their own with no help from anybody else, and sort of feel that same way that Detroit should be doing it and wish they had declared bankruptcy 20 years ago.
Now, what you had just mentioned about folks maybe going down and going to a game or going to the DIA, does the DIA, the potential threat to its collection, does that hit home for folks in Northwest Michigan?
Only in very small circles. I serve on the Art Center board, and of course that group is very concerned about it, as are other wealthier people, the local people that like to go to the Tigers or go to Greenfield Village or the zoo. They don't really pay much attention to it. But the people that have a bigger focus on art, it's just unconscionable to think that they would break up that collection.
There's two kind of communities. I mean, there's two communities in places like Charlevoix and Petoskey. There are the people who live there, live their whole lives there. I talked to a young woman last year who had never been anywhere in her life other than Charlevoix and Petoskey. But then there are not only the summer people, but those of us who come up here when we can. And even some people, I talked to people in Sutton's Bay who came down three or four times a year. They went to the DIA. They went to Eastern Market and loaded up on things. So they like the thought that those cultural jewels are there. And I think it would be very sad if something happened to them.
But there's not a sense of investment, personal investment in what does or doesn't happen with Detroit. That's what I think I hear.
I think only in the sense that some, you know, think that it's not right that a major city in our state would go bankrupt. But at the same token, they don't feel they're the ones that should bail it out.
I think that's true. I think it was interesting in Marquette because politically, Marquette is a very Democratic city. This is not a case of Republicans sort of shunning the Democrats in the Southeast, but it's just a different kind of place. And, of course, in defense of Detroit and the Detroit area, it's very hard for people in the Upper Peninsula, in Northwest Lower Michigan, to grasp the enormity of both the size of the population and of also the problems that are there.
And I think this disconnects, it works both ways. I would suspect if you talk to many folks here in Southeast Michigan who have never been into the Upper Peninsula, let's say, there's no sense of what it's like except, you know, upers and water, and people don't understand each other from either end of the state.
It's interesting. My sister moved to Negaunee 25 years ago from East Lansing, and it was a culture shock to her. It's sort of like how Jack described. I mean, it's just a whole different world up there. And once you become a part of that culture, you really don't go below the bridge that much.
And also, I think you have to remember that, especially in the Upper Peninsula, especially in the Western Upper Peninsula, these people have always been poor, at least since the lumber and copper industries left. They've never had a whole lot of money. So it may be harder for them to be sympathetic to some of the problems of Detroit.
I think that's exactly right, Jack. They have the attitude of being self-sustaining and can't quite understand why other people aren't. Their demands for things, just aren't great.
I'm speaking with Michigan Radio's political analyst Jack Lessenberry and also Ken Winter, who's the former editor and publisher of the Petoskey News Review, kind of getting a look at the view from up north of Detroit's bankruptcy. Is this sense of disconnection and a different place between north and south, is it more pronounced, do you guys think, in Michigan than in other states?
From my conversations with a lot of people that end up summering here from all parts of the Midwest and West Coast and South Florida, it isn't. I mean, there's a lot of divide among states. Illinois is a good example, Ohio, Indiana, how people in the cities view the people in the rural areas. I don't know how you feel about that, Jack.
I think it depends on the state. I think that's right, Ken. I lived for a number of years in Memphis, Tennessee. Tennessee is a state that is horizontally about as long as Michigan is vertically, and they felt that they were completely removed from East Tennessee. We had a story on the front page once mentioning Tennessee's border with Virginia, and all sorts of people called and said, Tennessee doesn't have a border with Virginia. Well, it does, but they weren't aware of anything about East Tennessee. And in California, I think there's a huge disconnect between Northern and Southern California.
You know, since writing that column, the whole issue on race starts to pop up again, too. I've noticed a few comments on the column that I wrote, but I've also heard other people talk about it, too. And I was surprised. I always thought that Governor Milliken and Coleman Young were really sort of the bridge between the two areas, worked very hard across the aisle to accomplish things for the betterment of the state. But now I'm hearing that they blame Coleman Young for the race issue.
I think that Governor Milliken and Coleman Young, I mean, what they did in their time was very admirable, and people like us remember them, but I'm afraid it didn't have a lasting impact. Now, I think in northern Michigan, at least people I know, race is not a major factor. Detroit is seen as sort of an alien world, but it's more small town versus big city. I'll never forget, I have a tiny house in Charlevoix, and when I moved in, the neighbor said, I know you're not from here, and I said, why? He said, you lock your door when you go away.
Is there a sense of connection, say, with West Michigan? Do the folks in northern Michigan, say, in northwest Michigan, feel maybe a greater connection with Grand Rapids?
You know, that's interesting, because I grew up in Lansing, and when I moved north, oh, some 40 years ago, and until this day, I notice that more people go to Grand Rapids and to Western Michigan to do things than they do to go to Detroit. And that was really a surprise to me, because when growing up in Lansing, we always went to Detroit, never went to Grand Rapids.
Yeah. But is that all bad? I mean, is it perhaps not a good thing for us as states of the Union to have our sense of regionalism and our sense of local identity?
I don't see how you can avoid it if you want to be successful. Jack's more the political analyst, but economically, it just makes sense. Particularly in the rural areas, we have to share a lot of services because each of the smaller communities can't afford particular things. But on a regional basis, they can have those services, such as planning, economic development, that type of thing.
That's true. I think you also need to remember that in places like Petoskey, which Ken knows far better than I, but Charlevoix, when you talk about the big city, for a significant number of people, that's Chicago, or it's St. Louis. There's a lot of people who look west who really don't look to Michigan at all. There are more people here who look to Grand Rapids, but I think in the Upper Peninsula, Grand Rapids and Detroit and all of us are lumped together as down there.
Don't they more often, Jack, go to Green Bay?
I was just going to say that. Some the people in Marquette that I talked to were sort of oriented to sort of Green Bay, maybe even Milwaukee. Wisconsin was their sort of urban destination of choice.
A lot of Packer signs I see.
I guess overall, is it any reason to be concerned at the sense that the Detroit bankruptcy and Detroit's troubles really doesn't matter in the lives of people in Fife Lake or Escanaba?
I didn't think so until I went to a business leaders forum here underwritten by our hospital last week, and hadn't really occurred to me the effect or impact bond ratings could have if, Detroit sinks and some of the other major cities on the brink of financial collapse. It's going to make it harder for us to get money all over.
Well, that's certainly true. But on the other hand, Cindy, you need to keep in perspective the fact that the entire Upper Peninsula has about 310,000 people. That's just over one-third the population of Macomb County. They have a lot of wonderful scenery, but there's not a whole heck of a lot of people up here. And even in North, if you look at the first congressional district, Michigan, of course, has 14. Mm-hmm. The first congressional district is all of the Upper Peninsula and a huge chunk of the Northern Lower Peninsula because the population is so sparse up here.
That's some real perspective for us. So bottom line, what do you think that this disconnect or this ho-hum attitude means for Michigan as a state, Ken?
I don't think it's going to mean a great deal other than I think people here want to continue with their lives as they are and able to take advantage of some of the amenities that the urban areas offer, but don't really feel that they have a lot invested in it.
And Jack, last word for you.
I think we'd be concerned if you saw people with pitchforks and torchlight parades saying, we don't want to send one more of our penny of our tax dollars to those people down there. Yeah. But I don't see any open hostility. There's just they're just sort of passivity, I think. And, you know, that's too bad, but we got to get on with our lives.
And as you pointed out in your commentary, Jack, as you talked to people in Marquette, they were more befuddled and exasperated by all the news attention given to Anthony Weiner in New York than they were bothered by what's happening in Detroit.
But in a sense, these people I talked to, there's a very famous restaurant called Donkers there where President Obama went. And the folks there regarded what they were watching on the news about Egypt and about Detroit as pretty much the same sort of thing. You know, troubles and peoples who are far away of whom we know nothing, as Neville Chamberlain said.
Yeah, right.
Michigan Radio's political analyst Jack Lessenberry. You can find his commentary, The UP's View of Detroit, at michiganradio.org. And Ken Winter, former editor and publisher of the Petoskey News Review. And his guest column in Bridge is entitled Northern Michigan Residents Ho-Hum Over Detroit's Bankruptcy. Thanks to both of you for talking with us and making me wish that I was up north with you.
Thank you, Cindy.
Thank you. My pleasure.